So Ohtani and Mike Trout on the same team. I mean, that becomes must-see baseball pretty quickly. If it wasn't already, Mike Trout's already unanimously accepted as the best player in baseball. But anytime you throw a different sporting experience, or in this case, a viewing experience at me, I'm all in. If he's going to pitch and hit, I want to see him succeed. I'd like to see him revolutionize the game.
Well, that's a throwback. That's how the players used to play, right? Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth would throw like 330 innings and hit 45 home runs.
It's crazy. It's just how it was, though.
I just don't know, with all of the money now and all the focus on injuries and preserving starting pitchers and the arms and innings counts and all that, if this is even possible, if it's even doable.
It was 55 for the Yankees. I know they brought in Hideki Irabu, Matt.
Well, they had Matsui.
Matsui. He was fun to watch.
He was a great player. Like, there's been some great Japanese players. More often than not, when the hype
there's
is there, it's real.
There's also been some duds.
There have been. Like, Daisuke was a dud in the end. There's been a number of them, but...
Well, Irabu, he ended up having some big-time issues.
Mm-hmm.
He never really turned out.
No. But Ichiro is obviously one of the great players
Ichiro
of all time.
In Seattle, like that, he was... been around forever.
Wasn't Hideo Nomo...
That's
another kind of guy that just bounced around, and
I think he hopped around. He had some pretty good runs though in him. Like,
yeah,
you know, you never know. It's a transition. It's difficult, but generally the scouts know what they're dealing with. The hype is generally real. Let's head down to LA now. Catch up with Marcellus Wiley, our TSN NFL analyst, longtime NFL player, radio host down there in LA. How big a news is this in LA? This Ohtani stuff going to the Angels.
Yeah, it's big news. It could have obviously been bigger for most LA people if it would have went to the Dodgers instead of the Angels. But I think it's a great situation for him. He lands on a team that started to make a late charge, tried to get into the playoffs. But respectfully, they have the best American player and now the best international player in terms of Japanese player on the same roster. So maybe that gets the Angels over the hump. It's going to be fun to watch.
What did you make of Sean Payton making the choking sign? I mean, are you down with that? I love competitive stuff. I love kind of guys jarring at each other. But I'm not sure about that kind of stuff. Is ultimately it kind of backfire? But what do you think of a coach doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to see your coach express his passion and some of the symbols of what passion looks like. But the choking symbol, I didn't have a problem with that. They stopped the slashing of the throat for players, of course, and so coaches shouldn't be able to do that. But the choking, I didn't have a problem with it, and I laughed at the post-game presser when he forgot that he even did the same choking act a couple of times. But, look, it's a barbaric sport. Even if they try their best to clean it up like they're doing, it's still the most violent sport that any team could ever put its players under. And no matter what you do to measure that, you're going to see some guys step above and step beyond that line. And just saw that a coach did it. So players do it all the time. Coaches do it sometimes. But when you're talking about this sport, sometimes you just got to chill out in terms of what you see and what you don't.
Well, let's be honest. 28-3 is never going to leave Atlanta. Ever.
No.
Like 28-3 in the Super Bowl. You choke that away.
They make sweaters. They make T-shirts about it.
Some Saints fans spent money to get a plane to fly that around in Atlanta last night.
You were up 28-3.
Yeah, you know what? I would have got a plane to fly around New Orleans. Says you weren't in it last year. So, right. You know, it's just funny how we take the trolling to the next level. But, yeah, there's a quiet confidence with that team. Unfinished business. And maybe they can get themselves back in the playoff, win that division, and see what they can go out there and do in the playoffs. Maybe finish the deal.
We were just talking about how violent the sport is, and Ryan Shazier comes up. I mean, Brian, our host, was mentioning, is this guy ever going to play football again? I'm thinking to myself, if I'm an athlete and that happens to me, playing football again is probably the last thing on my mind. It's probably never going to happen.
Yeah, it's interesting how the finish line moves, and we moved the goal line on this. There was a moment there where we were just hoping the guy could ever walk again, and then you move it once you get past that threshold, and you say, well, will you ever play the game again? And I think that a guy who went through something as severe as that really needs to hold dear to what's most important. Obviously, there are a lot of things that are important, but most important is what's your long-term health. And I think if I were in that situation, obviously I would get second, third, fourth opinions about my long-term health and the compromise I may make to it by playing a game of football. And if I hear enough intelligent evidence that this is going to harm me going forward, football's behind me. I'm not even thinking and considering, and I'm not even hurting for the opportunity to play football again if it's going to compromise my health.
With Marcellus Wiley, Marcus Peters of the secondary down in Kansas City, he doesn't have a choice. He's not playing this weekend. He's an Oakland kid, too, and the Chiefs are playing the Raiders, and this is a big game because the Chiefs are choking away the AFC West. But last week, he put himself on the map, if his play didn't already do that, by picking up a flag and throwing it into the stands and then essentially ejecting himself. He walked out, and the refs are like, we didn't eject you for that. And Andy Reid just said, well, you're ejected the next game because Reid decided to suspend him this week. What do you make of that move by Andy Reid? How ballsy of a move is this?
Yeah, I think that's a coach hitting the red button. All else has failed with this team in terms of trying to ignite them and get them back into a winning mode. They tried to put it on Alex Smith and blame him, and he just goes out there last week and throws four touchdowns. And he's like, not me, coach. And I think right now, because of the lack of discipline from this team and the lack of execution, that coach said maybe a little friendly fire will inspire you guys to go out there and play better. So sometimes you take something away and everyone else realizes, hey, that's a special talent, a special player. We need him. And since we don't have him and coach is making an example of him, he'll do that to me and they'll play better football collectively. That's probably the last ditch effort from an Andy Reid that's trying to get this team and salvage the season before it's over.
Well, he's probably trying to save himself. When you talk about execution and discipline, when those two elements aren't a part of a game plan, that goes to coaching, isn't it?
It does. I mean, you talk about there's been a myriad of issues with this team, whether it's been defensive woes, and then there was issues with Alex Smith. He stopped pushing the ball down the field. They got away from the running game and Kareem Hunt. Remember Kareem Hunt the first few weeks? We just couldn't stop talking about the guy. Now all of that has shifted as he hit the rookie wall, and they kind of went away from him in terms of having a stable running game. So a plethora of issues over there. Like you said, Andy Reid, that seat's getting a little warmer because they have too much talent to play this bad.
With Marcellus Wiley, speaking of coaches, big story last weekend that may be disputed by Adam Gase, but last week against Denver at home, Miami was beaten up on the Broncos, and at one point they were up 33-9 and he went for an onside kick, and then a reporter started snooping around and he found out what he believes to be the reasoning for Gase trying to embarrass Denver, and that is that Gase reportedly believes that John Elway sewered him a couple of years ago and essentially halted him getting the gig in San Francisco. So this reporter is trying to connect the dots, and he believes that Gase was using his Dolphins team to embarrass Elway because Elway stopped him from coaching somewhere else in San Francisco. If that were true and the players found out, how would you feel about that? Your coach doing that with your team because of a vendetta featuring guys on other teams?
You know, it's funny. We always look at our coach and we wonder, of all the physical rigors and the toll that they put us through and all the things we go through as football players, would our coach ever endure these same things? Would he ever want to go through the fire like he makes us players go through the fire every single day? And some part of me likes that my coach is taking it personal, that my coach is saying, you know what? I get it. When you play your former team, you're trying to rub it in their faces. You're trying to rub their nose in it. And, hey, coach, you want to get on board with this? All right. And they responded. And obviously, you don't want the complexion of it to be you're up 25, 30 points, and that's when you run an onside. But it has to show his ugly face somehow. So part of me likes that my coach wants to get down and dirty like we do on the field every single week. So respect for that.
Great stuff, Marcellus. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care up there.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. From now until December 23rd, when you purchase any used vehicle, you'll receive a $500 prepaid Visa upon delivery. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland.